Welcome to the Cowboy Chronicles, the Oklahomans, Oklahoma State football podcast presented by Zaxby's. Cure your craving, stop in today, or visit Zaxby's.com. I am your host, Scott Wright, joined by my beat partner, Jacob Unruh. And just finished up a little post-practice interview. We're in the Oklahomans mobile podcast studio, coming back from Stillwater. It's been an interesting week getting to talk to guys after actually having played a game at this point. So I'm going to get into some of the things we talked about. Got an interesting and fun surprise in the second segment that you're going to want to make sure you catch. It's also going to be in Wednesday's versions of the Oklahoman. So be looking for that as well. It's definitely going to be worth your time. But Jacob, let's jump in. The offensive line has been a popular topic this week. Mike Gundy said that for a single game, this offensive line graded out better than any single game offensive line that he's that he can remember. I can firmly attest that as a 40-year-old now, once you get past 40, you start forgetting stuff.
Get a little older over there,
maybe,
Scott?
I definitely am. My body reminds me of it every day, and my mind does too, because there are things that I should remember that I can't. And so, you know, he says it's the best one he can remember. Maybe there was a better one somewhere along the line, but either way, really impressive performance at Oregon State by the Oklahoma State offensive line.
Yeah, you know, they really impressed them more than I expected.
Yeah.
They come out there, you got some guys that have experience, but then a guy like Bryce Bray comes out there and looked really good in his first start. I mean, when you think about the numbers they put up rushing, I mean, over 350 yards rushing, right?
Right.
And you got guys like Micah Cooper all of a sudden contributing and having, you know, decent nights, and LD Brown had a solid night, but then Chuba Hubbard obviously went crazy behind that line, and Spencer Sanders went really crazy behind that line too.
Yep.
And you know, you got guys blocking down 20 yards down the field, you know, laying out defensive backs that have no
right.
chance against a big guy like that.
Right.
I was really impressed. Now, as far as being the best in the Gundy can remember lately, he had some really good lines, especially in the early years.
Yeah, he absolutely did. Some of those, especially the guys that they had when, you know, even going back to when Russell Okung was here with Zach Robinson and Dez Bryant and Kendall Hunter, the line that they had when Brandon Whedon and Justin Blackman were torturing defenses. Those were definitely some good ones, and I think one of the more underrated offensive lines of Gundy's time is from 2 years ago, and it just struck me to think of those guys earlier today when Zach Crabtree came walking across the street to Boone Pickens Stadium, rehabbing for the NFL, trying to get back in action there. But he was the right tackle, a senior that year. Brad Lundblade, the former walk-on that had really developed into a solid center on that team, and some other guys. Marcus Keyes was just a sophomore back then, so I think that was one of the more underrated offensive lines that Mike Gundy has had. But this one certainly looks to be a bigger, more athletic, and more physical line than we've seen in a while. I know you visited with Bryce Bray this evening. What did Bryce have to say?
You know, Bryce was pretty open that he learned a lot his first year as a redshirt. You know, he got in that game against Baylor, but it was really more of a special teams type scenario on the field goal and didn't really get to play much. But he said just that whole year, like, he really learned a lot and got settled in. And he said that he was pretty nervous going into last week. And then Chuba Hubbard, of all people, came up and gave him a pep talk. And it sounded like Chuba gave a lot of pep talks
right.
the other night. But, you know, Bryce came out there and was just looked like a veteran. And, you know, I asked how he kind of settled in, and he said really it just was that year and working in the weight room and just kind of studying and watching other guys, and he picked it up pretty quick.
You mix in a guy like that who's big and physical, and I mean, he was in the mix for the left tackle job, I think probably for a good long while there. Not sure exactly when that move was made to move him over
He actually said a couple weeks into camp, about,
really?
You know, a few weeks ago they kind of switched it up.
So you're talking about a guy who's talented enough to be your left tackle in this offense as a redshirt freshman. Then you move him into a guard position. You've got Dylan Galloway, who started half the season last year, and then all the other veterans with Tevin Jenkins at right tackle, Johnny Wilson at center, and Marcus Keys, who's been starting every game just about since he got here, it seems like. So you mix in a guy like that with some veterans and some really talented guys, and that has a chance to be a pretty dangerous offensive line. Then you put a pretty dangerous offensive line in front of Chuba Hubbard and Spencer Sanders, who obviously looks incredibly talented so far. And then he's got weapons like Dylan Stoner and Tylan Wallace and Landon Wolf and Jelani Woods and all these guys that he can throw to. The potential that is gathering for this offense is starting to look higher and higher, I believe, at this point. Don't you think, Jacob?
Oh, yeah, I really do. First, I want to talk about Tevin Jenkins' block downfield.
Oh, yeah.
Night. That was one of the most impressive blocks I'd seen all night, where he was on Tylan Wallace's quick pass for the touchdown there. He was – I don't know how far downfield he was necessarily, but he was way down there laying out blocks. But you're right. This offense, is built for great things. And the way Sanders played, you just got to be really excited. And then obviously Chuba and Tylan. But I think there's other weapons. You mentioned Dylan Stoner and Landon Wolf. They didn't even get Jelani Woods involved. And that's kind of scary in a way to think about, because I think he could be a really big weapon. And he didn't. I mean, he was non-existent as on the stat sheet, and that's a good sign for them. And so, you know, I think really you're poised to see a lot of points this year, and you're especially going to see them this week against McNeese State.
we were discussing this earlier, because the over under as of right now on Tuesday evening, when last we looked, 62.5. It feels like Oklahoma State could put that up on their own. Now maybe that's what Vegas is thinking, and they're thinking that the Oklahoma State defense is going to play better against an FCS opponent and not allow anything. But that seems like an awfully low number when Oklahoma State's offense is involved. So,
yeah, that number, when you told me that, really kind of shocked me. I thought, wow, like really? Like, okay. I mean, I wouldn't say by halftime they put up that total, but they could get close if they really wanted to.
Yeah, they could. We'll get into the defense a little bit more later, and as I mentioned, a special, a fun surprise for the podcast listeners coming up in the second segment. We will get to that right after this. This is the Cowboy Chronicles, presented by Zaxby's. We are back on the Cowboy Chronicles, presented by Zaxby's. I'm your host, Scott Wright, joined by Jacob Unruh. Jacob, you've got, depending on when folks are listening to this, it might be in their paper right now, right this minute, just sitting there on the driveway waiting for them to go out and dive into this wonderful story that you've got for them. Not exactly a football story, but definitely an OSU story and something fun to look forward to on Saturday. I'll let you have the big reveal and kind of take us through this story that you've got in Wednesday's paper.
So I got to combine two of my favorite things in this, football and Parks and Rec, NBC's wonderful show that I've watched multiple times, and I get to combine it with Little Sebastian, the world famous Little Sebastian. So Oklahoma State has its own Little Sebastian now. Really, Stillwater does. This horse really belongs to Stillwater more than OSU. If you missed the tweet last week, Oklahoma State Athletics Department tweeted out a picture of a mini horse and said that he's coming soon to Boone Pickens Stadium as Bullet's sidekick. His name is BB, which is perfect. You got Bullet and BB.
And that was just fate.
It was fate.
That was not planned. It would be brilliant if it was planned, but it was pure fate.
It was fate, because the horse's name is actually Baxter Black. It's a black mini horse, and he's really, really freaking cool.
Yeah.
And I hung out with him for an hour last week. And it's not just cool because it's a mini horse, like Little Sebastian, who earns all kinds of respect in Parks and Rec. BB is a therapy horse. And this is a really cool story to me that he goes around, he helps children with literacy, he goes to nursing homes and helps elders, he teaches kids that have disabilities. He's really good for all that stuff. He's even going to start going to a local women's shelter and helping there, and help women and children who have been abused to with therapy there. It's just a really cool, neat story. He's at Turning Point Ranch in Stillwater. He'll be just a short thing you're going to see on game days at home. He's going to come out with the Pistol Pete's Partners fan of the game, who they're going to dress that child up now as Pistol Pete, and they get to help lead BB onto the field and say something in the microphone. It's just going to be a wonderful, fun thing, and you really got to get excited about a miniature horse. I always kind of thought Little Sebastian in Parks and Rec was this character that was just kind of silly, and it was really funny. You got a little bit of Ben Wyatt in you, you know, thinking, I don't get it at all at times. But now that I've hung out with the mini horse for about an hour, I'm pretty stoked.
You're hooked.
I'm hooked. And the joy of it, and you're going to find out really quick in this story, is this horse is a little quirky. They're teaching him how to bow. He can jump. They're hoping to teach him how to paint. But the coolest thing is he fits in the bed of a truck. And the cab of a truck, sorry.
Yeah.
The cab of a truck. And the seats go down. He sits in there like a dog. He's got his head going through the front, looking out the windshield. You might see him if you're in Stillwater listening to this and you work at a drive-thru. You might see him pop in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, don't mind him. It's just BB. He's the star of the show.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, he is going to be on the field for a brief appearance each home game, debuting this week in the McNeese State game between first and second quarter. Is that what we're hearing?
I think it's the second time out of the first quarter.
Okay,
he has about an hour and a half time span.
Yeah.
Of attention. They said he kind of lasts about an hour and a half, and you might lose him. So.
And it's nap time. That's sort of how my clock works as well. So,
but he's a star.
Understand.
He was in the homecoming parade last year.
Mm-hmm.
The owner told me that he might as well have been doing the Queen's Wave the whole time, and loved it. And everyone talked about calling him Little Sebastian and stuff, and they're eating that up Turning Point. They're even talking about making T-shirts of BB. I suggested the famous Little Sebastian. I met Little Sebastian at the Pawnee Harvest Festival shirt. Just copying that and saying I met BB at Boone Pickens Stadium, and I said I would buy two, and I would wear it wherever I could.
And now, fans of Bullet, don't worry, Bullet still
Bullet's around,
still involved in doing what Bullet does, running onto the field after touchdowns and such. So an additional horse to the game day lineup. It's definitely, you want to check out the story and find out all the details, all the fun stuff that that BB is involved with, and a really entertaining addition, I think, to the game day lineup for something that's a little bit off the beaten path and not necessarily football related, but I think it's going to be a big hit with fans.
Yeah, I mean, how do you not like a miniature horse?
Right.
I mean, come on, you know. I mean, it's just going to be all in good fun. You really just, like, a mini horse is just really cool. Like, you can't ride him. He's not
right.
Broken to ride.
Right.
But he does so much more. And you really got to give it to OSU for this. Like, they really nailed it on this one. You know, I think there's some connections to the equestrian club there with the ranch. And
mm-hmm.
a lot of the equestrian team members volunteer at that ranch. And even Coach Sanchez is on the board of directors there. And so they just were kind of looking for a horse. And they'd already had – actually, I know his name is Baxter Black, but they already had his name picked out as BB. And it just happened to be that it was Baxter Black before that. So it all works out in this really cool way. You know, I really hope – everyone enjoys this story. I tried to have some fun with it and put some humor in there, but also get serious because he is more than just an entertainment figure at this point.
Listen, his job's more important than ours. Let's not sugarcoat this. What he does is way more valuable than what we do.
That's true.
I'm impressed by the guy. I'm very impressed by BB. So Yeah. So Wednesday's Oklahoman, always online at oklahoman.com. You can go find it. Just Google BB, just the letters BB. I'm sure you can find it quickly that way. So definitely want to do that. We'll get back to some football shortly. Want to remind you that you can subscribe to the Cowboy Chronicles podcast on Apple Podcasts. Get this delivered directly to your phone so you get all the quickest updates as possible. Also, our next episode this week will be we'll have our weekly mailbag segment. So reach out on Twitter at ScottWrightOK. Shoot me your questions. Email them to swright@oklahoman.com. We'll get all those questions answered in the final segment of our Friday episode leading into the McNeese State game. Or McNeese, I guess. They're dropping the state. Is that what I'm hearing?
I'm still calling it McNeese State. The university calls themselves McNeese State.
Yeah.
I was looking that up. Now, I did talk to Cody Orgeron, the quarterback tonight.
Right.
And he was calling it McNeese.
McNeese.
And I asked him at the end, I said, listen, I don't have any more questions for you for print or anything, but I got to ask, is it McNeese or McNeese? And he said that, you know, his dad is Ed Orgeron, from the head coach at LSU, and he said, you know, he coached at McNeese State back in the day, and he said, it's really McNeese, but my dad always called it McNeese. He said it's kind of a Cajun Louisiana thing to call it McNeese. And so, yeah. But it's
and
really
if you've ever listened to Ed Orgeron talk, it's completely viable to imagine that coming out of his mouth, McNeese.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Not surprising at all. So, anyway. Make sure that you're subscribed and following along and chiming in for the mailbag. We'll get to that in our next second. Quick break. We'll finish this up with some defense talk. This is the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's. We are back on the Cowboy Chronicles, presented by Zaxby's. I'm your host, Scott Wright, joined by Jacob Unruh. A little bit of defense talk to wind things down. Among the players that we got to speak with tonight, two guys who were in different roles than we expected them to be in a couple of weeks ago. Malcolm Rodriguez was a safety, now a linebacker, and played really well against Oregon State. He has a couple of more weeks to get really acclimated to this position before the tests get a lot tougher against Texas. And Trey Sterling, who stepped into Rodriguez's old spot at safety. So Sterling was an interesting guy as well. As far as Malcolm Rodriguez, you didn't get the feel that anybody was really surprised by his ability to adapt to the linebacker position, Jacob?
No, it just seemed like everyone was like, oh, it's Malcolm. He can go play linebacker.
Yeah.
I don't think he could go play defensive end, but you kind of get the sense like he can go do anything he wants
right,
on the field
yeah.
for us on defense. He's going to be around the ball. He's going to make plays. Because I asked Trey, I mean, you know, what'd you think of Malcolm's play, and he was like, oh, Malcolm's Malcolm, essentially. I mean, he was just,
right.
you know, he kind of almost brushed it off, like, why would you ask, like, it's Malcolm, but there's no reason to ask about his play.
Yeah.
And that's the confidence level that I think OSU has in Malcolm Rodriguez right now, that he can go and do that. He's still maybe a little on the light side for what they want in a linebacker, but he's
right.
so fast and strong, and I know it got mentioned over and over in the TV broadcast, he was a wrestler, you know.
Yes.
He's got that ability to go out there and really wreak some havoc, and Trey also said, too, there was a package already built in the system
right.
that had Malcolm moved to linebacker, and now it's just every play now, and so
right.
he already had an idea what he was doing, and it seemed to really benefit Cowboys there tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. He is a fascinating guy. You know, doesn't have a ton to say, but a really really thinks out the answers that he gives to questions when you speak with him. Very intelligent. You know, to be able to make this move so seamlessly, I think shows just how well he understands this defense. This is only the second year of this defense, and he you know, to no, not. It's not like knowing what another safety does. It's a completely different position in this defense, and to be able to step in there and do what he's doing at the linebacker position is pretty impressive. Now, obviously, things are going to get tougher. There's going to be coverages are going to be tougher against teams in the Big 12. linemen are going to be bigger that are trying to come and block him, and tight ends and all of that. So the tests only get, well, they don't get tougher from here. They get a little easier from here. But eventually they're going to get tougher.
Yeah.
So after McNeese and Tulsa, things really start to kick into gear. And there's going to be a lot asked of him in this role, particularly if they don't start getting some guys healthy. Because he and Eamon Ogbonbamiga hardly came off the field at all. And I'm guessing those guys probably slept pretty well on the plane ride home.
Yeah. One thing I think about when he, you know, as the season goes on, if he stays there, he's going to be a help for the safeties, though.
I mean,
he knows that so well. As you get into Big 12 play, he might still be a calming presence back there for the secondary. He's doing something different, but he can still say, hey, no, do this.
Right.
You know, and I think that's going to be maybe an addition that OSU has thought of maybe a little bit. Like, hey, we kind of have an extra safety out there, even though he's playing different. You know, that's going to give us a little bit of knowledge when it comes to these pass-heavy offenses in the Big 12 and as he gets more comfortable. And one thing I thought about that's really impressive with Malcolm switching like this, keep in mind, he was a quarterback and safety in high school.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's not like he's ever played linebacker.
Yeah.
I mean, ever. He literally played safety at Wagner. And so this to really pick it up this quick, I'm really, really impressed.
He really has a strong understanding of football, and I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, you saw him have the success that he did in Jim Knowles' defense last year, and why, you know, then you factor in his physicality, his ability to tackle, and that's why I think that he pushed himself to the front of the line as a true freshman to get in on special teams, because that was a year that they didn't necessarily have to have a guy do that, but they saw an opportunity to save a starter or a regularly used player some sprinting time, because that's what kickoff coverage is. It's just a lot of running, and they saw that opportunity as when Malcolm was a freshman, so they pulled that red shirt off 5 games into the season and let him go the rest of the way to help out there, and it really made a big difference for him. Now, I know you. We both visited with Trey Sterling. I think you got to hang out with him a little bit longer than I did. But he's a guy that seems very comfortable in the role that he's in at this point.
Yeah, he talked about what he really did to kind of get in this role, because he got tired. He simply just got tired of not playing. You know, he's been here 2 years and didn't play and wasn't happy with that. You know, both what his dad and his grandfather played in the NFL.
Right, right.
And, I think he kind of realized, like, hey, if I don't get it together, then I might break that chain there. And right. I don't know that he wants to do that. And I'm not saying he's NFL quality. He's played one game.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, obviously that's a goal of his. And he seems really comfortable getting in this position now that he feels like he's earned it. He's ready. Now, granted, I'm pretty sure that Chuba probably gave him a pep talk too.
Oh, probably
You know, because I know Malcolm gave him a pep talk.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that gets him ready. And I think this week and next week are going to be huge in getting him even more comfortable as you go into Big 12 play.
Yeah. And that's a spot now that is really starting to get a little thinner than it was without Malcolm in there. So that's a place where guys are going to have to step up and play well. Because if you start having issues back there and things not staying together the way that you expected, it's really going to filter down to the less experienced front six of this defense. So going to be important. You mentioned the NFL connection with his father and grandfather. He is his first name is actually Ronald. He is Ronald Sterling III, and he added the Roman numeral 3 to his jersey this year, which I thought was a cool tribute to his father and grandfather. So, you know, much the way that Colby Harvell Peel added Harvell to recognize his mother and maternal grandparents, Trey Sterling doing something to recognize his father and grandfather. So, cool deal. He is sentimental might be too strong of a word, but he does have a tattoo honoring his hometown of Tyler, Texas. And, you know, now that you had the name, and he's a guy that where he came from is very important to him, and not forgetting about it. So, an interesting guy. It was the first time I'd had a chance to speak to him, obviously being just a special teams guy last year as a redshirt freshman. You know, not a guy that you get many opportunities to talk to. So really enjoyed talking to him. The thing that's going to be probably the most important for him is just being reliable back there. You know, I don't necessarily know that he has to go be a superstar playmaker in that position. He just needs to be reliable and not be out of position. You know, he almost came up with an interception the other night, got right between his hands and hit the turf right in front of him. But still, that's what they need from him on the back end. Also going to need some help with the pass rush. That was a big point of emphasis from Mike Gundy's press conference on Monday. But it looks like they've got the pieces to put that together, I think, once those guys can get some experience.
Yeah, you know, he talked a lot about Trace Ford again. Mm-hmm. Everyone's talking about Trace Ford right now, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, the freshman from Edmond Santa Fe looked really good the other night. A nice bright spot, but I think if you can get Israel Antoine and guys like that back in there this week, I think you're going to start to see this defensive line come together. And there's a reason they were pretty optimistic and excited about this group. It's just you've got to get them back together and all going. And I kind of liked what I saw in bits and pieces. It wasn't all great, you know, especially early when Jamar Jefferson kind of had some big holes and things like that. But I think, you know, guys like Trace Ford and stuff kind of give you hope for the future of this line as the season goes on.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a week to just get comfortable in your schemes, especially if you're a young guy like Trace Ford or Jaden Jernigan, true freshman playing up on the defensive line. Oklahoma State should be able to overpower McNeese State at the line of scrimmage and be able to handle them pretty well. So this is just about being comfortable and being sound in what you're doing in your assignments and all of those sorts of things this week. So important growth week, I think, for young guys in particular and guys who are going to be getting more and more involved. Sione Asi as a junior college transfer, Samuel Atui-Halamaka as a redshirt freshman getting his first action, guys like that, Tyler Lacey as well. So going to be an important week for those guys to take a step forward, maybe show a little bit more of a presence in the pass rush or on third down. That'll be a big point of emphasis as well. 13 of 20 Oregon State was on third down. That's a big number.
That is a big number, and it's only going to get tougher in the Big 12.
Yeah.
So you've got to get that short up.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, for Jacob Unruh, I am Scott Wright. That's going to do it for this episode of the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's. Cure your cravings. Stop in today or visit Zaxby's.com.